am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
And it's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that Timothy McVeigh, that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
Listen.
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government, since this is highly promoted by the right wing.
Conservative Network, Fox. The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E Pluribus Unum. And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist? You're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs? Fuck you. War.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You tuned in live this 11-11, Friday, November 11, 2022, on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. It is a wild and dystopic ride, to be sure. And so let's see. Happy Veterans Day. We'll come back to that. You know, this is one of those subjects that you have to be delicate with, and I have mixed feelings about it, as I have expressed in the past. I think we've been lured and seduced into a false sense of patriotism. And how many people really count the cost of what is commonly known as military service these days? I would say it's conscription in different ways, which gets to the psychological manipulation. We don't need a draft anymore, because it's better when you feel a sense of effort justification. It's better when you feel like it's your idea. So we'll get to that first. As usual, again, the John Stadmiller book drive, that's something that we should mention right out of the gates. So if you're not aware, there is a book drive, and you can win fabulous prizes. There are links on the website, republicbroadcasting.org, and apparently one of the pages moved. So we are having a book drive. RBN is, that's what we're calling it. It's a fundraiser. Donations of $100 or more between November 1st and January 8th. The drive actually started November 7th, but you can call in 800-724-2719 extension 3 if you donated already in November, $100 or more, and you can be a part of the book drive. So donations of $100 or more from now to January 8th will give the donor an opportunity to receive a book previously owned, a physical copy of a book previously owned by John Stadmiller. More information is on the website, and the book this week is actually two books, two copies of Tex Mar's Circle of Intrigue, which is pretty fantastic. So, John Stadmiller and Tex Mar's, that's pretty amazing. So, the subject of when it comes to Veterans Day, I mean, there's the obvious. It's an interesting discussion if we want to dive down into it. Maybe we should play Howard Zinn. I'm anti-manipulation. I'm anti-hegemony and imperialism. I'm anti-knock and talk and so forth. But I am definitely, pro-defense and pro. But, where do you draw the line? Do we play pirates and emperors? Because one man's pirate is another man's emperor and vice versa. We can say we are defending our American way of life, but then the roots of that American way of life are somewhat troubling and problematic for some, and maybe not for others. Depends on who you ask, I guess. And you don't have to look far to find a veteran that you can ask, what's going on over there or over there? And they will tell you unspeakable things are going on in some places, which I think is part of why we have a suicide epidemic. It's probably not the analysts and the pencil pushers who are committing suicide predominantly. If we dig into the numbers, it's really probably not that difficult to figure out. People doing unspeakable things, unable to process those things, and, if I had to guess, my lay conjecture on the subject is somewhere along those lines. So the point is obviously not to besmirch veterans at all, which is why I mentioned the Howard Zinn what is it called, the clip? Patriotism? Howard Zinn on patriotism? We need to define terms. It's in the national interest, like he said. So we all have the same interest. The government and I, Exxon Mobil and I, General Motors and I, like he said. Suddenly we all have the same interest. And, If you are psychologically a nerd and you have allowed yourself to be gripped by this Bernaysian mechanism, then it's difficult to, if not impossible, to hear those kinds of things. But, I think we should be sober-minded, far more sober-minded than we have been. And again, if anybody asks, what do you think about military service, Chris? I think that maybe reading a copy of Smedley Butler's War is a Racket is in order. Smedley Butler has not been in active service for over 100 years, I believe, around 100 years. And still one of the most highly decorated military men of American history. So, I would consider him one of those unimpeachable witnesses. Who's going to argue with? That's like, arguing with Arlie Ermey. remember his performance. Anyway, that's kind of, to me, you know, Arlie Ermey's character in Full Metal Jacket is, I would imagine, patterned after Smedley Butler, old Gimlet Eye. So, you know, a guy who writes a book after serving in every commissioned rank of the Marine Corps, that's, you know, you can't argue with that guy. War is a racket. Who makes the profits? What is a racket? Who makes the profits? Who pays the bills? How to smash the racket? To hell with war. And, you know, I agree with what Smedley Butler said. How to smash the racket? Well, and it is a racket. I mean, you have to understand that I think the curious transformation of the Dixie Chicks over the last 20 years is a fascinating study. You know, after, I mean, they were just the darlings of America and country music, obviously, and so on. And then there was that criticism of the Bush administration, and suddenly, I don't know, everything spiraled into oblivion. And they've had this massive, I mean, I feel like they are sort of the Chelsea Manning of the music industry, having this weird radical transformation as a result of the backlash of the criticism. Oh no, you can't say that here. You can't speak your mind here. Even though, you know, there's obviously a strong argument to be made that that's not what you should be doing primarily. Is it entertainment? Which is not necessarily a good thing either. Probably play a video on that. Anyway, without getting too far afield, I think the point, especially with the, you know, the background of information that I've been trying to present in various ways over the last few weeks in particular, what about the spiritual battlefront? Because it's very real, and what if we could get people to believe that it doesn't exist? If you could somehow engineer a society that operates on radical empiricism, and this idea that we have to believe our senses over everything, you know, the myth of the objectivity of empirical evidence, and how our unwitting, unsuspecting senses can be deceived, often quite easily, you know, so by the cunning. If you can engineer that kind of society, man, that would be a coup. Where there's a battle going on, and essentially everyone is engaged in it without knowing that there's actually a battle going on. Which sort of reminds me of the infamous Nicholas Murray Butler quote, you know, there are three types of people. Those who make things happen, those who watch things happen, and those who wonder what happened. And now, you know, people have suggested there's a fourth type, those who don't even know anything happened. More and more that seems to sort of categorize America, unfortunately, sadly. Nicholas Murray Butler was not a good guy. President of Columbia University, very influential guy. One of those intriguers from behind the scenes that are happy, you know, kind of a Murray Strong type guy. You know, there's COP27 going on right now, which is the legacy of Murray Strong 30 years later, 1992 Rio Earth Summit. We don't have Dr. Michael Kaufman with us anymore, but we have the ghost of Murray Strong and the ghost of David Rockefeller and the ghost of you know, John D. Rockefeller and the ghost of Alexander King and Bertrand Schneider and so on and so on. We don't have Ralph Winterroad, the truth seeker of the far north, with us anymore. And where are his notes? It's amazing. So I think, you know, I would say in my humble estimation, this network, Republic Broadcasting Network, represents the front lines of a spiritual battle. A lot of folks probably wouldn't categorize it that way, wouldn't say you know, that everyone is actively involved in that. And I understand that. But I think, in a very real sense, it does represent that. And some of us see that more clearly than others, perhaps, but still dimly, as the Bible says, you know, still searching. And I think that, you know, that should be acknowledged. I know that there are folks who pray for this network and the hosts of it regularly, dare I say, religiously, and not in a pejorative sense. And so I think that's important to acknowledge, you know, because you have, I mean, just think about it. This network continues. I haven't looked. I'm actually, you know, I cringe and shudder to think, you know, Ralph Winter Rhodes, Alaska Minuteman. Let's see. Is it still? Did somebody take care of it? No, because no. You know, I reached out to the hosting provider early on and was not really successful, obviously, in trying to wrest some of Ralph Winterroad's research from the clutches. You know, we can't be sensible anymore. And I tried to say, you know, I mean, this is a strange group of folks. You know, if you talk about hosts, RBN hosts, for example, not to get too far afield, but you know, it's a very kind of an eclectic group, I would say, very staunch in their views and beliefs, and not terribly, you know, flexible or, you know, and we have our blind spots like anybody else, and maybe more so than some, because being firmly convinced of, you know, our convictions or whatever sometimes leaves one particularly vulnerable in ways that we do not perceive, gives us certain blind spots. Anyway, we don't talk to people anymore, especially in the tech industry. You know, it's chatbots and things like that now. Am I talking to a person? I'm not actually talking to anybody. Am I typing with a person or a chatbot, or what's going on here? So, in any case, I reached out and was unsuccessful. Obviously, Alaska Minuteman seems to have been sucked up. So you have that kind of thing. You had Joan Vion's site. You know, there are some people that try to make efforts to... It's just kind of amazing. You know, we have these giants in our midst who do this amazing research, and it becomes their life's work, basically. You know, we owe folks like Ralph Winterroad a tremendous debt of gratitude, really trying to drill down and uncover exactly what it means to be American. And yet much of, I would say, the lion's share of Ralph's work, I know that he had a whole collection of PDF documents, probably hundreds of megs or more, of congressional record documents and court cases and all kinds of stuff. And I thought it would be great to publish that stuff somewhere. And obviously that didn't happen, which is a shame. But it's amazing, you know, the American ideal of freedom lives on despite the relentless onslaught to destroy it and to basically bend everyone to this conformist impetus. We must all be homogenous, pasty, androgynous, hermaphroditic, you know. We're going to get rid of pronouns entirely eventually, but we just have to keep dehumanizing people to the point that, you know, what's the ultimate non-offending pronoun? I suppose it, right? Oh, we're in a break. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Jailing hosts and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Complicit news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist, and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty, or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go in and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead, and when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
Racket. So I saw a story, speaking of the ghost of Maurice Strong, you know, the rewilding initiative. Grizzlies could roam wildest reaches of Washington State again, but first, a mountain of red tape. We got to get all those people out of there. If we could just herd those people and stack and pack them. Again, I think of Derry Brownfield and some of the things that he wrote over at News with Views. On population density. There was one piece in particular that he wrote, and, you know, again, it happens at glacial speed. Who knows about these things? Anyway, that's I'm getting away from the deal here. War is a racket. How to smash the racket. Let's talk about that real quick. Is it a sacrilege? I don't think so. I was going to say before I mentioned that when people say, what do you think, Chris? You know, Junior's thinking about military service. I say, you know, it's wise to count the cost. And, you know, we are terrible at the telephone game. For some reason, the folks who are, you know, the epidemic of suicide is not making it back to the front of the, you know, the telephone chain, the what do you call it? The phone tree or whatever. How do you impart that message? You know, sure, it's great, you know, that Uncle Sam wants to give you $50,000 for this or that and, you know, a bunch of cool gadgets and teach you to do fun things and stuff, but it's not just that. There are, you know, there are other things that go along with this. And so, you know, I don't know. I think that to me, when I read the Congressional Research Service report, RL33627, the October 23, 2008 update, or revision, NATO and Afghanistan, a test of the transatlantic alliance. This report, to me, says it all. And if I'm going to have a crisis of conscience, if I understand anything, it's going to be here. Maybe the problem is we don't understand what's going on, but that's even worse. That's more of an indictment, I think. So from the summary of the report, which is 36 pages, not much to read. I've encouraged folks to read it before Junior enlists in military service. No one ever reads it. I mean, is 36 pages too much for the life of your child and their well-being, even if they come back uninjured, per se? There might be some psychological effects to which many folks have spoken. The report says the mission of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, NATO, in Afghanistan is a test of the alliance's political will and military capabilities, which is an interesting turn of phrase. Since September 11, 2001, the Allies have sought to create a new NATO. So wait, the mission is a test. What is the mission? The mission is a test. The military is not, in this sense, and Congressional Research Service report or Congressional Research Service, I would say, is not prone to hyperbole. So I think the mission is a test is something that we should perhaps ruminate on. The mission is a test of the alliance's political will and military capabilities. NATO has sought to create a new NATO, able to go beyond the European theater to combat new threats. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? Because what happened in Afghanistan? Operation Cyclone. How was the threat created precisely? You can jump on Wikipedia and read all about Operation Cyclone, which still is there. Operation Cyclone, code name for the United States Central Intelligence Agency program to arm and finance the Afghan Mujahideen. Huh. So we created the threat that now we're using as a surreptitious justification to expand NATO. Think about that for a minute. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.com. www.RepublicRadio.org. American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the Internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of Happy Packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile oxysilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. Fish in the sea, you know how I feel. River running free, you know how I feel. Blossom on a tree, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. Dragonfly out in the sun, you know what I mean, don't you know? Butterflies all having fun, you know what I mean. Sleep in peace when day is done, that's what I mean.
All right, welcome back. Yeah, perfect. So before Huxley spoke about the ultimate revolution, Wells wrote about it. The Shape of Things to Come, the subtitle is The Ultimate Revolution. What's he talking about? So I'll get back to that in a second. So NATO and Afghanistan, a test of the transatlantic alliance. It's interesting the blindness from which we suffer. We should play a video on that in a second, I think. Let me do this real fast, and actually, maybe it's better just to play the video. Let me see if I can grab that real fast. War is a racket. And we are deceived in ways that we do not perceive. So, where I was going to go today is the criticism and skepticism that I've talked about lately. It pertains particularly to issues and aspects of the Bible and the author of the Bible. And if we can get you picking at it, then maybe we can get you to throw the baby out with the bathwater. After all, this is the first deception. Yea, hath God said? Did God really say? Did God say that? No, God didn't say that. He knows that on the day ye eat of it, ye shall not surely die, but ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil, and their eyes were opened. So that co-option and conscription, taking credit for, so the way that works historically, trying to sort of, change history and so forth, there's been an effort to try to decry the King James and Baconian influence, the AV 1611. Clearly there's Baconian influence. Just because there's some fancy drawing on some of the pages and some fancy, Celtic, arguably esoteric symbolism does not mean what is implied, that those efforts were entirely corrupt, the translation efforts, that is. And so if that's not working, and it hasn't worked to the extent that the critics have wanted, look at the results of the King James Bible. It seems that if we could just call it generally a generation that read the King James Bible was more moral and virtuous and so forth than those reading these crazy translations that basically tell you, you're good, do whatever you want. It's all good. You're good. So if you can't, wrest people's control of, and possession of the King James, then why not, control the past via preemption? Find or, if necessary, forge a text or manuscript which ostensibly predates the established, in this case, the Textus Receptus, the received text, and then say this new one actually predates all of this other stuff, and therefore it's, more authentic and it should hold higher status in the list of manuscripts that we have available to us for translation, and then start using that as your means to control the past and in so doing control the future. So there's the subject of conflict thesis, continuity thesis, like I said, the myth of objectivity. Who understands the subject of empirical evidence and why such a push from a certain contingent, a certain set of beliefs or a certain belief system? It's mystical, it's esoteric, it's Western esotericism. Western esotericism is always behind that for some reason. Why is that? You can't find someone you would call an Orthodox Christian who is pushing hard for these kinds of things. It's always the mystics, it's always you know, the Swedenborgian, Spinozan contingent who are dabbling in mystical and occult. Anyway, we're running short on time. The deception. Kay House has some stuff. Ron Mattson. He's, you know, done some stuff since Chuck Missler passed away. So this one, there's that series. It's an 8-part series, Age of Deceit, 8 parts so far anyway. Part 8 of the Age of Deceit. Here it is. Go ahead, please.
In the classic book, The Art of War, the celebrated military strategist and author Sun Tzu writes, "Engage people with what they expect. It's what they are able to discern and confirms their projections. It settles them into predictable patterns of response, occupying their minds while you wait for the extraordinary moment, that which they cannot anticipate." Deception by diversion has always been a tactic used successfully by military commanders. From the Trojan horse employed by the Greeks in the 13th century BC to the Japanese surprise attack on Pearl Harbor in 1941, tactical diversion has been a useful tool to gain an advantage on the battlefield. We can see an example of this type of deception in the Allied strategy for the invasion of Europe. As early as 1942, Adolf Hitler knew that a large-scale Allied invasion of France could turn the tide of war in Europe. To ready for an invasion, the Germans began construction on the Atlantic Wall, a 2,400-mile network of bunkers, pillboxes, mines, and landing obstacles up and down the French coastline. From the start, the top candidate for an Allied invasion was believed to be the French port city of Calais, only 20.7 miles across the English Channel from Dover. The reason Germany chose to double down Nazi defenses along the Calais coastline was not only because its proximity to England, but because Hitler fell hook, line, and sinker for one of the most successful military deception schemes since the Trojan horse. Codename Operation Fortitude, the Allies used deception by diversion to convince German intelligence that the D-Day invasion would absolutely occur in Calais. To give the appearance of a massive troop buildup in southeast England, the Allies created a largely phantom fighting force, the 1st U.S. Army Group, headed by George Patton, the American general, whom the Nazis considered to be the enemy's best commander and the logical man to lead a cross-channel invasion. They deceived Nazi aerial reconnaissance planes by fashioning dummy aircraft and an armada of decoy landing crafts composed only of painted canvases pulled over steel frames around the mouth of the River Thames. They even deployed inflatable Sherman tanks, which they moved to different locations under the cover of night and used rollers to simulate tire tracks left behind in their wake. Thanks in large part to a brilliant Allied deception campaign by diverting attention away from the intended invasion site on the Normandy beaches of France, the D-Day invasion of June 6, 1944 became precisely the turning point that the Germans most feared. Our senses are the windows of our soul. They feed information to our mind, which in turn determines our actions. Jesus taught in Luke chapter 11, "The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body is also full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body also is full of darkness." Attention diversion is the key to illusion. Discerning the difference between helpful information and harmful illusion is key. It's all about managing our perceptions. Attention is like mental money. Be careful how you spend it. Therefore, if an illusion fools our senses, then our perception will be poisoned and our subsequent understanding will be flawed. Constant acceptance of an illusion as true information can lead us to be complacent where our mind is comfortable with the repeated and predictable patterns of the deception we now hold as truth. In other words, we only notice the change when it occurs within the field of our narrow focus. We do not detect change where we do not think a change should appear. Just as the pickpocket relies on the victim being distracted, Satan also seeks to distract and destroy. We are all basically single processors, one function at a time, which means that we will not notice a change in the peripheral areas outside our prime focus. As a result, we suffer from a kind of multi-processing blindness, or as others call it, change blindness. According to a 2005 study published in the journal Trends in Cognitive Science, the term change blindness refers to the surprising difficulty observers have in noticing large changes to the visual scenes. This blindness leaves the victim vulnerable to illusion, misinformation, and outright deception. Today, what are the major influences in the world that are constantly trying to gain power over our hearts? What is the greatest source of input into people's minds today? The answer is entertainment. From the Colosseum in Rome to the cinemas around the world, people seem to crave diversion from rather than connection to real life. I constantly see people with their faces looking down at their mobile world rather than looking up to engage the real world they hardly acknowledge. According to FutureSource, global entertainment spending is to grow to $439 billion by the end of 2021, with SVOD, that is subscription video on demand, surging. One of the most popular programs on an SVOD service was Game of Thrones. During its 73 episodes from 2011 to 2019, it was awarded 59 Primetime Emmy Awards. This is disturbing to me, as Game of Thrones was heavily criticized for its depiction of women and sexual violence. Women are raped, forced into sexual slavery, or subjected to other gender-based violence. They rarely have a choice of who they marry, a situation all too common for women and girls in the real world today. Based on this terrible plotline, the series was incredibly popular. How can this happen in today's world, where on the one hand, society champions the cause of women, and then on the other hand, are entertained by their horrible mistreatment? Violence is a popular theme in entertainment. It is the sad fruit of objectification by characterization, villainization, and ultimately dehumanization. As a prime entertainment element, it promotes the devaluing of human life. Another means of soft-selling violence is to present it as a benevolent act of a superhero. Of the top 30 highest-grossing films of all time, as of the end of 2019, 18 are about either alien or superhuman saving the Earth through violence. The quest for entertainment reaches beyond the domain of TV and movies. This is where viewers become participants in their own adventure through the virtual world of gaming. According to Newzoo.com, 2020 saw an annual rise in video game revenue to $178 billion, involving 2.81 billion players. That is more than one-third of the world's population of 7.77 billion people. Statista.com reports the most popular games in the U.S. are Call of Duty, War and Violence, 68 million players. Grand Theft Auto, Action and Violence, 64 million players. Fortnite, Action and Violence, 59 million players. Super Smash Bros., Fighting and Violence, 51 million players. Pokemon Go, Augmented Reality Violence, 51 million players. The Elder Scrolls V Skyrim, Action and Violence, 40 million players. Halo, War and Violence, 40 million players. Overwatch, War and Violence, 38 million players. League of Legends, War and Violence, 32 million players. Do you see a pattern here with all these entertainment portals? In all formats, violence, in one form or another, is a dominant feature. Psychology Today reports, according to the market research group Nielsen, adults spend over 11 hours per day interacting with media. That's up from 9 hours and 32 minutes just 4 years ago. Of those 11 hours, 4 hours and 46 minutes are spent watching TV. For kids ages 8 to 12, the same Common Sense Media Survey report found that they spent 6 hours per day interacting with media. Kids ages 2 to 5 spent around 4 hours and 35 minutes per day in front of a screen, example, watching TV, videos, and gaming. Therefore, the average person devotes 20% of their 24-hour day to some form of video entertainment. What starts as fascination becomes an obsession to the point of captivating our minds.
We should pause it there since we're headed into a break. Let me ask again. So, did you catch what he said around the five-minute mark? Change blindness? Think of COVID flooding the zone. Could flooding the zone be a means of and method of inducing change blindness, perhaps? You know, we saw it, right? Didn't you see it with friends, loved ones, and other people where they can't recognize the obvious anymore? Go to the Wikipedia entry for change blindness, perception phenomenon. Observers often fail to notice major differences introduced into an image when it flickers off and on again. You know, the news media flickering with contradictory messaging, the Bates and double bind messaging, and then suddenly people are, you know, learned helplessness. Stick around, I'll be right back.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Welcome back. I think we have just about enough time to squeeze the rest into this segment. And so can we do that, please? Can we finish that video?
What is the greatest source of input into people's minds today? By now, I believe you can see that the answer is entertainment. One of the most effective ways of neutralizing the detecting devices of the enemy is through sensor saturation. This covert countermeasure overwhelms the observer and blinds their defensive sensors. In the early hours of the Allied invasion of France, the RAF dropped around 500 dummy paratroopers far from the actual D-Day airborne landing zone as part of Operation Titanic. In addition, paper strips covered with aluminum were deployed along the French coast, which on German radar appeared to be a continuous blip that could be mistaken for an approaching fleet. The blinding and binding effect of the global data deluge is taking its toll every day. We are witnessing the result of overstimulated ostrich-like humans who have their heads buried in a world of harmful self-indulgence, a world where they are blind to the real threats surrounding them. The AACAP reports, hundreds of studies of the effects of TV violence on children and teenagers have found that children may become immune or numb to the horror of violence, begin to accept violence as a way to solve problems, imitate the violence they observe on television, and identify with certain characters, victims, and/or victimizers. We have seen plenty of evidence that in a wartime scenario, keeping a clear head is paramount. The Apostle Paul warned his young apprentice Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." What is the answer to this troubling trend? Is there a survival guide for the soul under siege? Please do not get me wrong here. I'm not advocating that we run and hide in a cave somewhere. The Bible gives us all the answers we need to safely transit the minefield of the modern media onslaught. King Solomon warned in Proverbs chapter 4, "The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil." The Apostle Paul offers this encouragement in Ephesians chapter 6. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand." May God bless you as you continue to study his word.
There you go. James Blind, I mean, hopefully, yeah, we're headed into the end of the hour break. Perfect timing. Hopefully that made sense. This is the real battlefront. So for what? You know, flooding the zone as a means of inducing change blindness and learned helplessness, as a means of what? For what? For what purpose? We'll talk about that when we come back. Second hour coming up. Stick around.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. and click on our online store. Or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.